Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here. If you don't know who I am, my name is Amanda. I'm the worship director here at C3 Toronto, and I am very honored to be given this privilege to speak to you today. Who's been loving the summer series? A little bit of freedom. You never know what you're going to get. Pastor Chris spoke this like brilliant prophetic word last week. Is anyone here for that? Turning the page. And sometimes if we don't take quick action, we can actually miss out on some of the fruit that comes from words like that. And I believe that God's given me a word that's going to activate some of our faith in this place this morning. It's going to give us structure, what it looks like to actually step into this next page. So if you're taking notes, the title of my message is Risky Business. Risky Business. We are in the business of risk. And you know what? It can be a little risky sometimes when you step out for God. It can be a little like you're like, oh, I don't really know. What should I do? What's next? And have you ever, anyone play Minesweeper growing up on your computer, probably on your Macintosh desktop while you were waiting for the dial-up internet to connect? You just pull up the games tab and there it is. But you know, in that game where you like, maybe you're like, I actually didn't learn how to play that game until probably like, I didn't know that there was what do you call it when you play a game and strategy. I'm a big gamer right here. I didn't know there was a strategy to it. I thought it was all just risk, and you just click, and until you hit a bomb, and then it's over. But maybe you're like me, and you're okay with risk. I've grown up, and I've been okay with risk. Never really think about the consequences, which has got me in some trouble. But maybe you've clicked once, and you hit a bomb, and then you never played that game again because it just gave you too much anxiety. Or maybe you took the time to strategically plan out your steps in that game like you're supposed to so that you'd avoid the traps. But sometimes it can feel like our walk with God. Sometimes like a game like that, because there's a level of risk involved, can feel like our walk with God. We sometimes don't know what's on the other end of what he's asking us to do. So it's risky business. I'm going to read today out of Matthew chapter 25. It's a parable of the talents or the silver bags in my version, which is the NLT. It's not the Amanda version. Just don't want you thinking that I wrote my own Bible. Talks about the talents. So what you have to understand is this is a parable. So Jesus talked to his disciples in parables, which means it's symbolizing something about the nature of the kingdom of heaven. So it talks about talents, which are actually equivalent to what they say to be about 20 years' wage. One talent worth 20 years' wage. And so it's no small amount. So even if you're given one talent, let's say you're making $30,000 a year, you're given $600,000 a year for that to be trusted with. And I don't know about you, but I am not just going to give anyone $600,000 to be trusted with. But in Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30, we're going to read through it, and then we'll pull it apart. But what I want you to do is underline a couple things because they're important. So it says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money, underline his money, to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. You want to underline to their abilities. He then left on a trip. I love that. I don't know, it just makes me happy. It feel like Jesus just put on a fedora and like a Bahama shirt and picked up his bag and was like, okay, guys, yeah, you got that right. I don't know how you interpret your Bible, but that's how I interpret mine. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest. Underline invest. The money invest the money, and he earned 5 more. The servant with the 2 bags of silver also went to work. Underline went to work and earned two more. But the servant who received one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, that's important. After a long time, not after a couple week vacation like we take. After a long time, some may say a process. Well, that was nice. You guys say that, so that's great. Super encouraging. Thank you. After a long time, their masters returned from his trip and called them to give an account for how they had used his money, underline his money. The servants whom were entrusted with the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, "Master, you give me five bags of silver to invest, and I've earned five more." The master was full of praise, said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate." The servant who had received two bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you give me two bags of silver to invest, and I've earned two more." The master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful in handling the small amount, so now we'll give you much more responsibility. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid." You want to underline that. "I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant." Pretty harsh. Pretty harsh. But we're not going to focus on that because I know that C3 Toronto is filled with good and faithful servants. Right? Good and faithful servants. And now here's the thing in that parable. What the master is commending. So if you took it, what it symbolized and what Jesus is talking to us about is he's talking to us about faithfulness. "Well done, good and faithful servant, for you have been faithful." Did you ever read that verse in the version that says, "You've been faithful with the little, so make you ruler over much"? And you're like, awesome, that sounds great. Like, here I come, Taya Smith, like, look out. But it actually means that you'll be given much more responsibility. And I don't know, when I hear that version, I'm like, oh, cool. I'll stay back here. I'm good with the small, happy, content. I'm good with it. But God's calling us to greater things. And what he's talking about is faithfulness. And oftentimes we recognize faithfulness by its characteristics, which is good because it's devotion, it's loyalty, truthfulness, things like that. But what I believe that this parable is saying is rather than pointing out its characteristics, it's talking about the fruit. Jesus is commending the fruit of faithfulness. And it says in the Bible that you can understand the health of something by the fruit it bears. And so this parable is saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant, for you have been faithful with the little, so you will be given more responsibility." The fruit of faithfulness is multiplication. That's actually what Jesus is saying. So how do we tell if we're actually really truthfully being faithful? It's not passive. It's actually very active, and it causes multiplication in our lives. It's not about the amount that we were given. It's not about the talents or anything. It's about what we do with them. And he's given us all gifts, and they're according to our abilities. So that's point one, is his gifts, our abilities. His gifts, our abilities. I grew up in Calgary, and I was a very wild, free child. Grew up in the country. Was a solid, like, 49 to 52 student. Passed barely. I passed by sweet-talking my teachers, begging my teachers, actually, to let me pass. And I didn't find myself. I got taken out of French class because I literally had 3% in the class. So they put me in a class where I could do my other homework so that I would get my homework done and, like, pass school. But I was never, like, gifted. That school never came, and learning has never come naturally to me. It's something that actually requires a lot of effort from me. And my sister was the other side. So she was like the smartest person in the class, A plus student. Like, she just got a double degree, been in school longer than anyone should. I was out of school for like 5 years and she was still in university, and I'm like 4 years younger than her. This is crazy. I never understood it. And then I found music, and I think my parents were like, thank God, she's good at something. She's good at something other than just like loving people. And they actually first began to invest in it before I ever did. They began to invest into that gift, put me in guitar lessons, learn guitar, put me in all of these, did lessons for 7 years, and you wouldn't be able to tell now because I've slowly just gotten worse again, the more that I've started singing. Just use a capo. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for those. I began to work that gift. I found it was something that naturally came to me. I didn't have to put a lot of effort into it. It interested me. And when I learned theory, I actually loved theory. And I was like, wow, that's fascinating because I've never loved learning anything. And so I dug time and effort and work into this. And then I walked through the doors of C3 Calgary, where I started going to C3 Church. And immediately knew it was home and was a decently skilled musician at that time. But I sat in the very back, which some of you might be doing today. And I came late and left early so that I wouldn't meet anyone or get cornered by a leader in the church, because everyone knew I was a musician. And then one day someone in the church called me up on the phone and they said, Manna, we really need a bass player this week. And I was like, no, you don't. You got a great team. It's awesome. It looks like it's thriving. What do you need me for? And they said, not at all. We really need a bass player. Like, could you just help us out? And now here's a trick too, if you ever need to get me to do something, it's to ask me in person, because I can't say no. But I finally gave in, and I was like, okay, ended up playing bass, went from bass to then I started playing acoustic. They'd put a microphone in front of me, never wanted to sing into it. I would turn it to the one side so that they couldn't hear me singing. And I eventually, like years later, wrote a song because I felt like God was asking me to write a song. So I wrote a song, and it was terrible, but we sang it at church, and it was a start. And my journey has just been thing after thing after thing after thing after thing to here, which I'm like, dear Jesus, you've got the wrong person. Are you sure? Because when I look back, and I'm not telling you the story of my lifeline to say, look how good I've done, well and faithful servant. I'm saying this to like encourage you that someone that is not educated that well, that someone that's a little bit misfitty, that's a lot awkward. I was going to say a little bit, but that's not true. Can actually do something for the kingdom of God. Because it's his gifts. It's his gifts. He's given us these gifts to steward amongst our life. And they're things that are like faith, gifts of mercy, gifts of forgiveness, gifts of generosity. They're physical gifts like intelligence that I didn't get, singing that I kind of got but have worked it, teaching, serving, leading, listening, loving. These are all gifts that we can get from God. And he does it according to our ability. Because he knows our ability. He created us. There's no one else like you. No one on the earth has the same gift settings with the same abilities on this earth. It's just you. It's just you. And in Romans 12, verse 6, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for certain things. That's such a freeing verse for me. Certain things. Not all things. Certain things. I'm not great at pastoral conversations, but if you want me to talk about character, I could do that. But you should go to someone after that's going to love you and hug you and let you be a little bit sad, because I probably won't be that person, because it's not the giftings that I've been given. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, then serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift for showing kindness, then do it gladly. Different gifts match to our abilities. There's no one else like you. No one has the same abilities that you have. And in this story, the master wasn't playing favorites. He's not like, oh, this guy's my favorite. I'm going to give him 5 talents. We're warming up. He's warming up to me. So I give him 2, trust him with 2. And this guy over here wouldn't be missed if he left. $600,000 for 1 talent. You're not just giving that to someone. They're trusted people. And God is entrusting us with these gifts. And the master didn't give according to, he wasn't giving them less or more. God isn't giving you more than you can handle right now. Maybe you're praying for more, but he might be asking you, what are you being faithful with now? What aren't you being faithful with? He didn't give them too little so that they couldn't succeed either. He knew the exact measure that matched perfectly with the giftings that he created them to be. God's not up in heaven playing favorites like, oh, I'll bless you, I'll bless you, I'll bless you. And then it comes to you and you're like, he skips over you. It's like, maybe later. And that's not the God that we serve. That's not who he is. His desire is to bring good things into our life. His desire is that our desire would come to pass. And the God that we serve is actually, I believe, up in heaven as we're praying, God, do something with me. God, use me. He's saying, use what you have first. You have gifts. You have gifts. God doesn't care about what you can't do. How often do we go to God with complaints about, oh, God, I can't do this, I can't do this, I'm not qualified to do this, I'm not qualified to do this. He cares about what you can do. He cares about that. He's like, no, what can you do? And when you come into agreement with that, there's a blessing that's demanded. This parable is essentially telling us, don't just sit there. Do something. Don't just sit like I did for a couple of years in the back. Do something. Surrender your gifts to God. Allow him to use it. Whatever it is, it's not going to turn out. It might not turn out like you speaking on stage like I am, because truthfully, I didn't see this gift coming. I'm just being faithful. I'd like the small back, please. This parable is saying, do something. Don't just hide. Don't just sit in the back. Don't just be Canadian and say you first. I'm so tired of Canadians, specifically in the church, waiting for other churches to have incredible moves of God. I'm so tired of that, and we grab onto the coattails. How about it's time that we stand up and understand that God has given us a gift matched with our abilities, and that if we would just be faithful, if we would just risk, that something great might actually happen. What do you have? What do you have? I love what Pastor Chris said last week. I can't remember if it was at her or on Sunday, but she said, when you surrender your gifts into the presence of God, the wind blows. The wind blows on it. And there's a story in Genesis, and it actually says, this is about the Garden of Eden. And as God's creating the Garden of Eden, it says he places Adam in it to work and tend to it. Not just placed in the garden to rest. You're not just placed in the garden to wait for good things to come to you. You're placed in the garden to work and tend to it, like the first two servants did. And it talks about this river that flows through Eden, and as soon as it hits the borders of Eden, it splits into 4 different branches. And I'm not going to try to tell you what the names of those branches are, because that would discredit what you think about me right now, and it would be very embarrassing. But what they mean, the translation of what they actually means, one of them means increase, one of them means bursting forward or overflowing, one of them means fruitfulness, and the other means swift or accurate. And New Testament now says that we are the temple, we are the conduits, we are the house of the presence of God when we accept him into our life. So it means that that river from heaven is flowing through us. And as we surrender our gifts into the river of God, as they begin to leave us, they demand fruitfulness, they demand overflow, they demand accuracy or swift action, and they demand increase. It's pretty cool that that Bible verse doesn't say you submit them into, like, the, it talks about the rivers. None of those rivers are like the slow, like, piddling river. No, they're bursting forward. They're filled with increase. We're the ones that often prolong this season of process because of our fears. And the devastating thing is that's what actually happened with the third servant. I believe that he was an incredible man, trusted. He was called a servant by the master. It wasn't just a random off the street. Again, it's $600,000. It wasn't just a random. He was trusted. And he had this understanding of God or his master that was not accurate. So he says when he's talking to his master, he says, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money." He didn't know the character of his master. He didn't know him well enough. So point two is, what we do with what we have reveals our image of God. I believe that what we do with what we have reveals how big, how faithful, how good, how true, how loving we view God. And the third servant missed that because he acted out of fear. He acted out of fear, believing that his master was someone, that Jesus is someone that Jesus isn't actually. Because I actually think that if he would have came and, like, maybe not hid the money, but just, like, started with a toonie, that's very Canadian. If he just started with a couple dollars and invested it, and maybe instead of doubling his money, he got two extra dollars, that he'd come back and his master would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because it's not about the amount. It's not about the amount that matters in this parable. It's about our heart and what we are, our image of God and what we perceive God to be. He was afraid. He was motivated by fears. And how many times do we allow ourselves to be motivated by fear? I'm afraid I won't be good enough. I'm afraid I'll let someone down. These are mine. I'm just going through mine right now. I don't know what yours are. I'm afraid I won't amount to anything. I'm afraid I'll mess up. I'm afraid it's not worth giving. It doesn't look like anybody else's. So why would I give it into the kingdom? Well, I believe that God is saying, exactly, it isn't like anyone else's. That's why it's required of you. The deeper we bury things down, the more I believe we distance ourselves from the very characteristics of God. Because faithfulness is a process, and I'm going to get the keys up here, but faithfulness is a process, and we tend to not like processes. Because they can be painful, and they can be draining, and they can be filled like Minesweeper of you clicking things and not knowing where the bomb was going to be. But it's a process, and I believe that that faithfulness is actually dependent on that process, or that process is dependent on faithfulness, and not a passive faithfulness. It's a God, I know that you have created me with something of worth, because you are worth. I had a teacher one time. You would have had to do Calm. Did anyone, do you remember that in Canada? It was called Calm. It was this weird class that nobody liked to do, but you had to do it to pass high school. And I was a little bit of a nightmare in high school. But I didn't really love this teacher. And I would skip that class quite a bit. And if my mom's listening to this podcast, I'm sorry. but at one point we got in this heated like argument, and she said, man, if you continue to do this, you won't ever do anything great in your life. And I had a moment where I could have like taken that, and like, because usually I'm pretty like, words mean a lot to me, so I have to guard my heart a lot. But in that moment, something actually just activated. And I just looked at her and I said, watch me. Part of it was because I was a rebel. And when you tell me something I can't do, I usually will say, I would like to decide that for myself. Thank you very much. But I actually look back at that day and I thank God that that moment happened, because something shifted in me and I knew that I was completely inaccurate. Like I wasn't able to, I didn't have the abilities, I didn't have the gift settings, but I knew who God was. And I knew that if I partnered with him, that nothing could come against me. And I knew that when I stand in the presence of God, the strength that I feel, the renewing joy, the hope that I feel in his presence, it can't be matched by anyone else. And I was faced with man's opinion. And I just chose not to believe it. I chose to run into God and say, God, whatever you give me, I'll be faithful with it. And oftentimes when I feel stuck with the worship team right now and I'm crying out to God for more vision and saying, God, why haven't we broken through this yet? Why haven't we gotten through this? Where are these bass players? Where are these electric guitar players? Where are these drummers? Where are these North Campus? Hello. Where are these people? He says, what are you not being faithful with? What's the area you're not being faithful with? Because this passage tells us when we're faithful with the little, we'll be given much more responsibility. So the only thing that's stopping growth or multiplication in our life is our faithfulness. The story of David, I love it. It's one of my favorites. But he goes through this crazy process. He's a shepherd in a field. Imagine that. He's anointed in that moment at a young age, anointed as king. So received the call. And then was an outworking of about 30 to 35 years before he actually became king of Israel. And I love that in that process, he was faithful with being a son to his earthly father, so that he was trusted to be a shepherd. And while he was a shepherd, he was developing his skill of music to be a musician, a skilled musician, the Bible actually says. He was brought into Saul's courts to play music, and in that time he was developing, I believe, his skills to be a warrior, to be a fighter. Then came to Goliath, slayed Goliath, was known as a warrior amongst all, and then promoted to king. He's faithful. Faithful as a son, faithful as a shepherd, faithful as a musician, faithful as a warrior, faithful as a king. Did he mess up? Yes. Was he perfect? No. Are we? No. For sure we'll mess up. But God is so much bigger than that. And he actually doesn't care if you fail. He cares way more about you giving up. He cares way more about that. And maybe you're not super familiar with the story of David, but there's some heroes in this room. Some heroes like Joshua Ward. Faithful. You know, he's by far one of the most talented musicians in this church. And I asked him if he could be faithful with helping me develop the sound team. Man, I knew that was hard for him. He's done it for like a year and a half and he's done a brilliant job. He's been faithful. There's people like Dallas Stevenson that risked it all, move across the country to plant this church with Pastor Sam and Jess and a group of people. Risked it all. And I'm so grateful that the foundation of the worship team was built off of her, because there's a fervency and a desperation for God that I haven't seen met in other churches. And I'm so grateful, because that is Dallas. When you walk by her, you feel the exuding presence of God. And if she wouldn't have risked it, if she wouldn't be faithful with it, we wouldn't see what we see today on stage. There's people like Landon Metcalf, who planned a worship night, just randomly asked me, texted me, said, are you okay if I do this worship night just for the worship team? I feel like we just should be filling ourselves more. And I said, go for it, man. And at that night, we saw there's like just such a power. Like I want, at the beginning of the night, I was like, I don't want to touch the ground because it's in this rented rehearsal space and there's like crumbs and stains and stuff. But by the end of the night, you're on your face. Like you didn't even care. The power of God in that room was so evident that we saw people, we prayed for the team. We saw healings. We saw visions come, but it was off of his faithfulness, his obedience. He's been a part of the team for years. And all we see is him up there worshiping, but we don't know that there's a process on the other side of it. And you might be feeling like, God, why does it take so long? Why does faithfulness, the process of being faithful, take so long? And I believe it's because God's building our understanding. He's building our character. He's building our revelation of him. And then lastly, he's building our gift. And it's important that that gift is last, because if you have an understanding of God, if you understand and go through the trials of developing your character, and if you gain revelation in God, bringing your gift forward, investing, working your gift is a byproduct. God doesn't have to actually work your gift. I wish that he would. We pray for best, like, God, give me a better voice. It doesn't work like that. He's like, work it. Work it. You know who I am. Don't resist the process of faithfulness. It can take a long time, yes. But it's so worth it. And the kingdom is missing out if we don't have your gift attached to it. There's gifts like Candace and John Uran. They just love people. They just love them. Like, you can't not be around them and feel loved and accepted. And that's a gifting that they've been given. And they're using it for the kingdom of God. It's evident. There's heroes all over our church that are going through the process. And I'm sure at times, John and Candace feel like it's not reciprocated. I'm sure of it. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 10 in the Passion Translation says this: trust in the Lord completely. Do not rely on your own opinions. Do you know that your ideas of your life are really only opinions? They're just your own opinions. God's created you for a plan, on purpose, in purpose, for this very day and time. We have a lot of opinions around what we'd like to do, but if we don't hold true to God, then we very well could miss the mark. Don't rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Not just the big ones, because oftentimes faithfulness is thousands of small ones. Thousands of decisions to not compare your gift, to keep working hard, to keep investing even though you don't see the return yet, to keep standing up again, to keep resisting the enemy, to keep resisting your own opinions, that you won't amount to anything, that you're second best. Nah, you're not. You're God's first pick. In fact, he only created one of you because he's so confident in you. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Intimacy with God is the key. If you don't have intimacy with God, you could find yourself feeling like you're in a little bit of a wilderness and you don't know how to get out. But Jesus got through the wilderness because he was intimate. He had an intimacy with his Father. He knew who he was. Become intimate with him in whatever you do. Do you talk to him about your fears? Do you talk to him? Maybe there's some single people in the room. Do you talk to him? Do you just pray for a spouse, or do you actually talk to him about why he might not actually be enough for you? Do you talk to him about those questions, those deep questions? Because that's what develops intimacy. Don't just pray for something. Talk to God about the fears attached to it so that you can see his blessing on the other side of it. Don't think for a moment that you know it all. I love that. I've had so many moments in my life where I've been completely humbled. And you just go, oh, yeah, I don't know it all. I'm actually quite helpless without God. I'm not that strong, not that well-spoken, not that talented. But if God is asking, I'm going to be at the front of the line. Then you will find the healing refreshment your body and your spirit so long for. glorify God with your wealth, honoring him with your very best, with every increase that comes to you. So this is already speaking about the much more responsibility, because he's confident that that's going to happen. There's no questioning when you submit your gifts. It's saying, glorify God with all your wealth, with all your gifts, with all your increase that you reap. Glorify God. And that's why he chooses the misfits. Can I just point that out? As you might feel completely inadequate, like me, second best, not the first choice. But he chooses the misfits so that he gets the glory. And then when we say that, takes the pressure off me as someone that doesn't want the glory, doesn't want to be in the spotlight. Is that it's like, oh, it's actually for his. It's for him. It's not for me. With every increase that comes to you, then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessing and an uncontainable source of inner joy. How often do we feel that we lack that? Joy, blessing. My question to you this morning would be, is there an area that you might not be faithful with yet? Is there an area, a gifting, an ability that God has given you that you fully haven't given him control of yet? And you might be in this room and have no idea who this God or Jesus is that I'm talking about. And I think that it's a decision and an opportunity that every person on the end of this earth to the end of this earth should encounter. It's to be in relationship with the King of Kings, the Creator of all. And I want to ask you today if you'd like to make that decision. So if you want to bow your heads, this is a moment between you and God. There might be some people in this room that have met that Jesus, that have no understanding of who this Jesus is. The Jesus that was baptized and God says, this is my son who I'm well pleased with, whom I love and well pleased. You might not know that you are loved and God is proud of you. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to make that decision because I believe it's the most important one that you will ever make. There might be people in this room that have walked with Jesus before, but because of circumstances or things that have happened in your life, you've maybe walked away. Maybe you've lost a little bit of trust in him. And I'm telling you, he is waiting eagerly right there to meet you again. He's not disappointed. He's filled with joy, waiting for you to come back. And maybe you're sitting in this room and the thought of eternity just actually kind of freaks you out. You don't know at the end of the day if you'd go to heaven or not if you passed away. And I believe that that fear shouldn't exist because where perfect love is, fear is not. And so if you're that person, I'm going to give you that opportunity too. So if that's you in this place, if you want to invite Jesus into your life for the first time, if you want to recommit your life to Jesus, your gifts to Jesus, or simply you want the assurance found in Jesus, I want to ask you to be bold and just lift your hand in this moment.